Jason Uncensored.
If North Korea wants to be mad at us, they can be mad. But guess what? We don't win against North Korea by being a coward and tucking our tail between our legs and running off because Kim Jong-un takes issue with us calling him Little Rocket Man. Hi, you guys. CJ Pearson here. Welcome to this Friday's episode of CJ Pearson Uncensored. So let's start off, you know, number one, earlier this week, I told you a little bit about my new dog, Darty. It's week two of him being here in Tuscaloosa with me. Got him from a breeder last week down in Columbus, Georgia. For those of you who know where that is, it's like really like 30 minutes or so away from the Alabama line. Picked him up there. I've had him since last week, since I first moved back in to Tuscaloosa. And it has been, it's been wild. Very interesting puppy. But the biggest thing really is that it's going well overall. You know, at first it was a little rocky, like, you know how puppies are, and they want to pee everywhere, they want to poop everywhere, they want to destroy absolutely everything, but everything in their mouth. And I'd be lying to you if I said that 80% of that stuff doesn't still happen, but it's only week two. But, you know, I count our victories, the big ones, the small ones, and I'll tell you that today, speaking about today specifically, we've only seen him have, I think, like, no, he's had zero accidents actually in the house. And that's like huge for Darty, guys. Like, that's Nobel Peace Prize worthy for him. And so, guys, like, continue to keep me in your prayers. Keep the faith. We're going to overcome these hurdles. And hopefully very, very soon, Darty will be a very, very good boy, potty trained and everything, and just the cutest Dalmatian you'll ever see. But until then, though, yeah, just keep us in prayer. But, you know, guys, crazy week, you know, and it's honestly, you know, every single week I feel like we're talking about the hypocrisy of the left in one way or the other. And of course, this week, unfortunately, isn't any different. We saw this past week, former President Barack Obama celebrate his birthday, which, more power to him. Happy birthday, President Obama. But what's ironic about it is that basically you have the White House, Joe Biden's administration, saying, hey, Americans need to hunker down again. They need to wear masks. They need to all get vaccinated. All of these things. They can't have mass gatherings anymore because of this this Delta variant surge or whatever. But yet you have the former Democrat president of these United States, who gave Donald Trump so much shit for saying, hey, we need to reopen. We need to go back to normal. We can't allow this to, you know, affect our lives. We need to overcome it, not be overcome by it. You have that president literally out there partying out in Martha's Vineyard with the coastal elite, with John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, and God knows who else, and just having a damn good time. But, you know, let Donald Trump, you know, party like that. Let you or I party like that. And you're going to have people in our comments saying that we're super spreaders, that we don't care about COVID, that we don't care about our grandmothers, our grandfathers, any of all that. And it's just absurd. The double standard is ridiculous. And what's so interesting about it is that the only people you see even talking about the hypocrisy when it comes to this issue is literally the conservative media. You have no criticism from the mainstream media. I've yet to see Dr. Fauci address the fact that President Obama had this big, big party. And you won't. Like, let's just talk about the reality of it. And you literally will not see any of them talk about it because they protect their own. But it really just goes back to a bigger thing. You know, why are people so resistant? You know, like, it's so weird that they don't understand this. And I talked about it earlier this week. It's so weird that they don't understand this. The reason these people don't want to listen to you, the reason that Americans like me, like you, are tired of listening to these people is because they don't even care enough to abide by their own damn rules, right? Like, COVID is deadly, then why the hell are you partying at Martha's Vineyard? If we need to wear a mask, why the hell aren't you wearing a mask? If everyone needs to get vaccinated, why the hell is everyone at your party not vaccinated? Because according to Candace Owens, she says that she has sources that literally say that at least three people who attended the Obama soiree were not vaccinated, or at least not fully vaccinated. You know, and that's why we are done. It's why we're tired of being bossed around, pushed around by these tyrants, told what to think, what to do, how to react to this pandemic, because these people have shown time and again that they don't actually care. They want to pretend like they care. They want to pretend like they know what's best for our country, what's best for us, but they don't. Not one bit, not at all. And we are tired of it, and we should fight back. And we're right to do so. We're right to do so. But guys, also too, funny enough, it wasn't even just Barack Obama. Literally today, it's come out that Chris Cuomo just 2 weeks ago was partying hard at some random club, just getting lit as God knows what. As he covers every single day about the rising number of deaths because of COVID-19 and all the rising hospitalizations and how we need to get serious about this crisis. You know, when the news broke that Chris Cuomo or Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo's brother, the former governor or soon to be former governor of New York, did indeed sexually assault or harass the women that he was accused of through this investigation that was conducted by the Democrat Attorney General of New York, Chris Cuomo didn't talk about it at all during his show. He actually only talked about Ron DeSantis and apparently his grievances with his leadership in terms of COVID-19. Guys, so these are the people that are trying to virtue signal to us. These are the people that are trying to tell us that we're wrong, that we don't care about people, that we lack empathy and all of these things. When in all actuality, those are the people that actually don't care. Those are the people, not you, not I, not us, not people who supported Donald Trump, not people who vote Republican, not people who live in Alabama or Georgia or the South. We're not the country hicks they want to depict us to be. We're just people who are saying, if you want us to abide by your rules, how about you try to do it your damn self first? How about you try that? Maybe then we'll look into abiding by your guidance, even though your guidance changes every single day. Like, I guarantee you, if you walked up to someone who is all like, you know, we need to be socialists and all this stuff, you know, as COVID-weary as COVID-weary gets, they couldn't even tell you what the current CDC guidance is, because it's probably different than what it was 2 days ago. And it's definitely different than what it will be 2 days from now. That is why we are resisting. You know, I used to make fun of this back during the Trump years, the people who called themselves the resistance, because they weren't really resisting anything. They were resisting the will of the American people who elected Donald Trump. They were resisting this idea that he responded to a very real feeling in America that the elites had betrayed the American people. And what they were really resisting is the fact that no one really gave a damn about their feelings. They had never really been confronted with that fact until Donald Trump was elected. He was someone who very, very clearly told them, we don't give a damn about your feelings. We're going to deliver for the American people. We're going to put America first. If that makes you mad, if it pisses you off, then so be it. Stay mad. Be upset. Go cry in your corner. Go back into mommy's basement. We don't care. Why don't we care? Because we had a job to do. We had a job to promote policies that were going to put America in the front seat, not the back seat, like we were subjected to for 8 years under President Obama. We had a job to do when it came to ensuring that America was energy independent. Because guys, I've talked about it before on the show. When under Donald Trump did we ever run out of gas, right? When under Donald Trump did we ever see countries like Afghanistan suffer a power vacuum like what's happening now? I tweeted today, we were there for how long and we gained what? Because now I can't even tell. And that breaks my heart for very good reason. I'll talk about it later in the show, but it breaks my heart because how many people died for that to be the reality of what we find ourselves in currently in that country today? How many people died? How many people died? But that's Joe Biden's America. That's the America that he wants us to believe is so much better than the last 4 years that we had under Donald Trump. That's the America that he wants to say he is building back better. Building back better? President Biden, if this is your idea of building back better, then I am at a loss of words because I actually have a very different view of what you're doing. I don't think anyone can intentionally do this bad as president. Unless it's purposeful. I don't think anyone can put America in such a bad spot unless it is by design and by intent. So building back better isn't what you're doing. You're destroying this country. Destroying. Make no confusion about it. I'll see you guys right after the break. Welcome back, guys, to CJ Pearson Uncensored. So I talked to it a little bit briefly at the end of the first segment about what's going on in Afghanistan and how it's really heartbreaking to me to watch what's been going on, because largely because of the fact, you know, number one, that our country has been engaged in that conflict for as long as I've been alive. As long as I've been alive. That's not even hyperbole. It's fact. And now we see Biden in this attempt to, I guess, burnish his legacy, whatever that will be or is, remains to be seen. Right now, it's just a question as to how a psychophant and someone who very well may have early onset of Alzheimer's got elected to the highest office in the land is really the only question that Americans find themselves asking today. But whatever, maybe things will change in the next 3 years as President Kamala Harris, assumes her rightful or her eventual position. Let's not say rightful, because let's just be real. I don't think either of them are necessarily in the rightful place they should be. It is what it is, unfortunately. But here's the deal. What's happening in Afghanistan is heartbreaking, because let's talk about how many lives we lost there. Only for Joe Biden in this just literal attempt at political grandstanding. But in this purely partisan charade, we're seeing the Taliban gain more ground in Afghanistan than they ever have before. We're banning literal soldiers and translators that we trained that helped us in this war effort in Afghanistan because of how fast he just wants to leave the entire country. And here's the deal. When I talk about foreign policy, just know I am not one of those Bush Cheney types, go bomb everything, ask questions later. I've never been that kind of guy. Very much more in the Rand Paul lane when it comes to issues of foreign policy. I don't think it's America's role to be the world's policeman. I do think that we have been way too eager to inject ourselves into international conflicts and other countries when we have far more problems to deal with here at home that we don't talk about enough. We have homeless veterans who sleep on the streets at night, who have no idea where their next meal will come from, who did everything they could for our country, who sacrificed so much for our country, but yet we left them behind. That is a problem that we need to talk about before we go and do anything outside of our borders. We have children starving in this country. We have children who can't read in this country. We have roads that are literally less than some third world countries, other nations. We have infrastructure that's crumbling. And so, yeah, I'm very much like, let's solve the problems in our own house before we go out and try to fix somebody else's house, right? Let's get our affairs in order before we go and tell someone how they need to be governing their country, okay? And Afghanistan's a little bit different. You know, it was a war on terror. I get that. I do. But what it became was this endless thing that was justified president after president, administration after administration, and it reminds me a lot of what Dwight Eisenhower used to talk about, the military-industrial complex. Because eventually you have to start asking, like, what war were we really fighting at a certain point? You know, like, what is our end goal? What was the mission? What was our pursuit here? And I think that is really why I am just kind of like, you know, like, yes, we need to leave, but this is not how you leave. This is not how you do it. You don't leave in the same way we left after we killed Saddam Hussein and created a power vacuum that gave rise to something a lot more evil and a lot more dangerous to our interests than Saddam Hussein ever was, right? And I get these people are all bad. They're all terrible people. Saddam Hussein deserved to die, but was it necessarily in our best interest to kill him at the time we did? I think history has shown us that it most certainly wasn't. But yet here we go, feeling the need to be the world's policeman, to go interject ourselves and other people. Like, that's the thing. But again, so like, don't sit here like, I don't want anyone to take this as like, oh, CJ's a war hawk. He wants to stay in Afghanistan. No. Like, any conflict that has lasted as long as I've been alive, and I've been alive in 19 years, is absurd, ridiculous, and we need to start asking ourselves, why the hell are we still there? Okay? But on that same, I guess on the other hand, you've also got to ask ourselves what it makes us look like as a nation when we leave behind the people that risk their lives to help us. What does it make us look like as a nation when we leave behind the people who had their families killed, who had their livelihoods threatened or just completely destroyed because they decided to join us in the fight for freedom and liberty for their people? And what does it look like for the future of the world when we want to leave so haphazardly that we are allowing the Taliban to regain control in provinces across that country that they never had control of before? What does that do to our interest in the future? It certainly doesn't help them. It certainly doesn't help us. But guys, this is Biden's America. This is Biden's world stage. Because y'all were sick and tired of a president who talked tough. Y'all were sick and tired of a president who knew how to bring Kim Jong-un to the negotiation table and he didn't give a damn about what Barack Obama had to say. Because y'all were like, oh, he tweets too tough. Like he's going to piss them off. He's going to make them mad. We are the United States of America. Of America. The United States of America. Frankly, if North Korea wants to be mad at us, they can be mad. But guess what? We don't win against North Korea by being a coward and tucking our tail between our legs and running off because Kim Jong-un takes issue with us calling him little rocket man. All right? We don't win that way. The same way we don't defeat terrorists by running away from them. We combat them head on. And we show them, this is what you get when you F with us. That is how we beat terrorists. We make them more fearful of us than we are of them because America is not a nation of fear. America is a nation of courage, a nation that overcomes, right? That may not be Joe Biden's America now, but that's the America that you and all of us know in the reality of the world, right? We all know America to be that shining sea on a hill. Now, Joe Biden may not want us to be that shining sea on a hill, but we know that is indeed what we are, who we are, and what we were made to be. And that's why it's disappointing. Too many people died. Too many people lost their lives. Too many people lost their husbands, their fathers, their uncles, their sons in this fight for it to all just mean nothing. Their moms, their sisters, their neighbors, their aunts. All of their lives lost for it to be nothing just because this president, Joe Biden, wants to score a political point. That is politics at its worst. We'll wrap up after the break. What's up, guys? So this is going to be a recurring theme over the course of the next few episodes. I really want to talk about how like different schools and universities are responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, especially as we get ready to return to school. We talked a little bit about it last episode, but there's been a recent development today. So there was a parent, or I guess a student, and their family. They sued the Indiana University for a vaccine mandate that IU had imposed. It went to the Supreme Court, where it went to Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who basically dismissed the entire lawsuit without even bringing it upon the entire court. And it's interesting to me because it's like, here's the deal. I get, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled time and again that, you know, schools, employers, all these places, they can mandate vaccines. Cool. Whatever. We've accepted that for the past, at least since I've been in school, that's whatever, that's fine. The difference between these vaccines that have been FDA approved, that have been mandated by schools and employers since the beginning of whenever, and the COVID-19 vaccine is that those other vaccines are fully FDA approved. This new vaccine is not. It was emergency authorized. It didn't go through the full entire approval process that every other vaccine goes through. And that's just reality. It's a matter of fact. It's truth. But for some reason, that's nothing that, like, that's not a distinction that the law is yet ready to make. And so that brings us to the next question. So do we need to make that distinction from a statutory standpoint? Do we need to start calling our legislators and doing that? Because this is actually absurd. The fact that, like, this is what it comes down to me. I am literally not opposed to getting vaccinated. Literally, but get the COVID-19 vaccine. As soon as it gets the full FDA approval, whatever, I'm cool with that. Why? Because I've gotten every other vaccine. I trust it. It's fine. It works for me. You have the right to not. That's your call. But for me, like, it works for me. This is about freedom for me. It's not about being anti-vax, pro-vax, whatever. It's about freedom for me. The freedom to make my own choice about my body, about my own healthcare. And I think that's like really the the opinion of a lot of people in this fight is just, really about freedom. That's what it comes down to. Like, I don't want the government to tell me what I can and cannot put in my body, because that's a very, very slippery slope that only leads to something that isn't very much like America at all. So yeah, I'm against that. Just like I'm very much against this idea that we're making college kids wear masks. Like, here's the deal. I go to Alabama. There's going to be a mask mandate for the next first 2 weeks of school, whatever. And I'm confused about that because, number one, regardless of this Delta variant or not, we are still among the most low-risk population for COVID that there is. You know, young people get COVID, our chances are a lot better than someone who has, existing conditions, pre-existing conditions that are, you know, autoimmune diseases, things like that, or if they're older, or, you know, older than 65, all those are high-risk groups. Young people aren't. So you're having all these young people wear these masks when in all actuality, it's just really an accessory. Let's be real. Like, because here's the deal. We've seen already that if you wear the mask, you even get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID. So what does wearing the mask actually really do? Because if the vaccine can't even prevent you from catching COVID, what the hell is the mask going to do? Like, really? Like, if the vaccine, the thing that you literally inject into your bloodstream is supposed to be the end-all be-all to this entire pandemic foolishness, can't protect you from the COVID-19, Delta variant, Lambda variant, all these variants, then what is a mask going to do? See, these are very simple questions. Questions that they, for some reason, don't have the answer to, but I'm going to keep asking because I think that they are reasonable questions to ask. Easy questions to answer if you choose to answer them honestly. And if you got to pull something out of your rear end, then yeah, it gets a little more difficult. If you don't want to shoot straight, then yeah, it gets a lot harder. But to me, and probably to you as well, these are very simple questions. Questions that you and I deserve to know before we decide to get the Pfizer, the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson, whatever shot it may be. We deserve to have those questions answered. And here's the deal. Some advice for Fauci, Biden, and all those folks in the White House. Maybe if you answer these questions, maybe, just maybe, a lot more people will get vaccinated. Just saying. Pro tip, free advice. Thank me later. Anyways, guys, thanks so much for joining us. I'll see you guys next week right here on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcast every single week, twice a week. This is CJ Pearson Uncensored, and I'll see you guys very, very soon. Hey guys, CJ Pearson here. Join us right here on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts for the same hard-hitting truth, because we'll never stop fighting for you right here on CJ Pearson Uncensored.
CJ Pearson Uncensored, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.